At Redeemer Presbyterian Church, we would say that we have a church liturgy. Are there any churches out there that don't have a church liturgy?
No. Liturgy. It's just basically the order of worship. And every church has an order of worship when they gather, even if they say they don't have one. Not having one is having one. And again, our liturgy is going to, as best we can, line up with God's Word. Mm-hmm. And so what our liturgy looks like on any given Lord's Day is a covenant dialogue with God. And think of the definition we gave of a covenant in a previous chat here. A bond in blood sovereignly administered. God's the sovereign initiator in our covenant relationship. So when we gather on the Lord's Day, God initiates that. He's called us there, and so we hear a call to worship from His Word. Then we respond, sometimes with a reading from Scripture, sometimes we'll use the Gloria Patri, different ways to respond, and then God speaks to us, and we respond. And this covenant dialogue unfolds throughout worship. Now, the preeminent time when God speaks is through the reading and the preaching of His Word. But it's that dialogue where God's speaking to us, we respond. God's speaking to us, and we respond.
Mm-hmm. So after the call to worship, we do the responsive reading, as you just mentioned. Many times you'll take it from a psalm, typically. And you'll say something, then the congregation says something, then you'll say something, we respond. And where does that come from?
Well, yeah, one of the patterns for this kind of covenant dialogue is found when Israel was gathered at Mount Sinai. You know, God called the people, and they were to come to a certain place on the mountain, and they were to prepare themselves. There are all sorts of regulations, but it's a covenant dialogue where God would speak to the people, they would respond. God would speak, they would respond. So you do see that unfold. Like I say, we have a call to worship, we respond. That initial part of worship, which takes maybe 45, 50 seconds, I don't know. I've never timed it. But this is a way where we're reminded that we're coming into the presence of the Sovereign who calls us. But after God calls us and we respond, the next part of our worship is a greeting, mm-hmm. where the Father says, "And now, come, my children, mm-hmm. come into my presence, the presence of the Triune God, and worship me intimately." And then we respond to that with a song.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's that unfolding of the dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's hoping to be biblical.
Exactly. And that gets us back again to the regulative principle of worship, where, again, the Westminster Confession sums up the Bible, where it says, "But the acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by Himself." Yeah. So we're trying to be faithful to what He's called us to do. And then the other thing, as you mentioned, let's talk about the music, for example. Why don't we sing contemporary Christian music? We tend to sing more hymns or older songs, I guess I could say.
Yeah, and I think songs have to basically meet two important criteria. First, they've got to be biblical. And by biblical, that means they've got to have a right focus on the glory and majesty of God as He's presented in Scripture. And two, they have to be singable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's a date on that. I mean, there are a handful of songs we sing that are less than 20 years old. I think of some of the Townsend songs and the Getty songs and Christ Alone, that sort of thing. They're very good. They're very singable, and they're just saturated with sound biblical doctrine. So it's not so much a date thing as it is a content thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to sing songs that teach us about God, right? When Paul's uses that language in Colossians about singing hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs, he says you're speaking the word of Christ to one another. When we sing, there's a sense in which we disciple one another with the truth of God's word going through the body of believers, singing out those hymns. And very practically, there was an old brother who he's gone to be with the Lord now, but for years he would come up to me after the sermon, and he would always shake my hand and always quote a verse from some song that he knew that the sermon just brought to his mind. So hymnody is such a vital part of the life of God's people. Singing is so important, but it's got to be the kind of songs that exalt Christ. And I'll even say, in terms of their importance, if you're dealing with people that have dementia or Alzheimer's, one of the things that's remarkable is often when they can't remember who you are, they'll remember the songs if they learned those songs when they were young. Mm-hmm. It's really an amazing thing to say.
It's fascinating.
You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, the angels were there singing, right? In the temple, there was choirs, there was massive music. When Christ was being announced at the time of his birth, there were angels bursting forth and singing. If you read the book of Revelation, one thing we know that will exist in eternity is singing. We even have these incredible passages where you have God singing over his people, or in Hebrews 2, where you have Christ presented as the one who leads us in song. And these are incredible pictures to tell us how important singing is, but those songs have to bring us to Christ.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like the songs that have been written post-19th century are very self-focused, for example, and that's just my observation. It seems like the ones that were written before that seem to be more where the theme of the hymn is more focused on God, his glory, his essence, his attributes, his nature, his names, or whatever the case, whereas songs after that are more what I think about his nature, names, essence, and not because the scriptures do call us to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, not that that's a bad thing. It just seems like anything written later years is we lose some of the great doctrinal meat to some of those old songs. I'll give you an example. We sung, and out of our hymnal, we sang, I forget the name of the song, but I was pleasantly surprised because I looked out at the date and it was 2014 when the thing was written. And it was great because the word me, my, I, or any of those words were not in there. And again, not that that's bad, but that's missing. That's what's missing in the quote-unquote contemporary music. But you've also mentioned that we do sing newer songs. That was one example. Some of the Getty songs are in our hymnal.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's one of the things you said and is that a hymnody that's less desirable, it's not even so much I think as it is I feel.